Hey, it's Matt Saker, and what started out as a very slow news week is turning into a tsunami of news. I'll do my best to catch you up on the big ones. First off, after maybe 2 years now of the hashtag release the Snyder Cut, fans clamoring for the Zack Snyder version of the Justice League movie. You know, what we ended up getting in theaters was a sort of mixed bag. The Justice League movie that Snyder had basically finished in 2016, which he had to step away from for reasons to do with a very serious family tragedy, and, depending on which rumors you believe, perhaps some creative differences between Snyder and the Warner Brothers DC brass. It's not as though Snyder has had this crystal clean record of great DC Extended Universe movies. Quite to the contrary, the reason that the DC Extended Universe has been flailing while Marvel has been thriving, I believe has a great deal to do with Snyder's pretty dark take on the superhero genre. That said, the version of the Justice League we saw had some of Snyder's vision in it, but they brought in Joss Whedon, an obvious choice, really, in hindsight. This was the guy who invented the superhero team's smash hit blockbuster movie in the form of The Avengers, and of course Avengers Age of Ultron, and Whedon has an impeccable resume regardless. He's a genre legend, going back to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, Firefly, Dollhouse, etc. But nobody liked the Justice League movie. People who did or did not enjoy Man of Steel. I don't think many of us enjoyed Batman vs. Superman, but even many of those who did. Generally speaking, the Justice League was a big failure commercially and critically, and many attribute that not to Joss Whedon's involvement, but to the way he was involved, being brought in at the last minute to make sweeping changes to a movie which had largely been done, changing lots of apparently storylines that Snyder was teasing for what was going to be a two-part movie, cleaning up and doing reshoots for Henry Cavill's Superman, doing a frame-by-frame erasure of Cavill's mustache, because Cavill was under contract with another film that required him to keep his facial hair. So they did all these reshoots of him with a mustache, and Superman doesn't have a mustache. So even the opening shot of Justice League, it opens on Cavill's bizarrely, weirdly, creepily photoshopped, edited mouth. So for that and many other reasons, Justice League was a mixed bag and generally was received poorly. So fans have been clamoring for Warners to release the Snyder Cut. And that's going to happen. There was a lot of buzz about this starting last week when Snyder held a screening of it for lots of Warner Brothers and DC executives. And yesterday, HBO Max made the announcement. It's another feather in the streaming service's cap and another reason why it might be a real major player, something to contend with, you know, in this ever-crowded, increasingly hostile streaming war landscape in which Netflix and Hulu already have many of our eyeballs. Apple TV Plus is trying to be a contender. DC Universe is sort of flaming out, and I believe it'll be merged with HBO Max. But Disney Plus has made a huge dent. And at a time when there's a global pandemic and many people's wallets are much tighter than they used to be, each streaming service is going to need to find reasons to justify a subscription. HBO Max already had several reasons. I believe they'll have several more when they integrate DC Universe. I do believe that's going to happen when they launch. And, well, they've got the exclusive Snyder Cut of Justice League. As they announced yesterday, they'll air it in 2021. I'm personally not a huge Zack Snyder fan. In particular, I think he did a bad job on the films he did for the DC Extended Universe. I think his vision is very dark, and I think he lets his objectivist philosophy be injected into the films. Objectivism and superheroes don't really go hand in hand. Objectivism is the philosophy espoused by Ayn Rand and expressed via her fiction books, including Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead. When you boil it down to its essence, the philosophy is be selfish. Put more broadly, it's the idea that if you're an exceptional person, if you've got exceptional gifts, powers, strengths, a unique intelligence, you are to use it for your benefit. Society, not so much. Society is there to heap rewards on you. And if they don't do that sufficiently, if you don't feel you've been praised enough, been given enough gratitude, monetary rewards, and fame for your accomplishments and gifts, then you go off and live on an island and tell the world to go screw. That is the philosophy that actually made sense for Snyder's adaptation of Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons' Watchmen comic. That comic was, among other things, a parody of many Steve Ditko heroes. Steve Ditko, too, was an objectivist. The idea behind the comic was Alan Moore positing what would happen if superheroes were real, especially these Ditko-created superheroes. Well, we'd live in a fascist police state. Our lives would be subject to the whims of these egomaniacal and terrifyingly powerful beings. Whatever they thought best, we would be subject to that. Our fate would be out of our own hands. It would be a living nightmare, and many of us would die pointlessly. So Snyder was the perfect choice and did a very good job of adapting the Watchmen comic to film. His Watchmen is frankly my favorite Zack Snyder movie, by quite a bit. But when he came back to do Superman and Man of Steel, a selfish, uncertain about whether or not the world deserved his powers, not only Superman felt that way, but Pa Kent, Jonathan Kent, the humanizing influence in the Superman mythos. They were both of the opinion that, maybe the world's not ready. Maybe I need to protect myself, my identity, the people I love. Maybe Superman shouldn't exist. And then when he does, there's a body count that is unacceptable for any Superman portrayal. I'm aware that this is a fictional character we're talking about, but I felt Snyder's Superman was wildly off the mark. A bad introduction and a terrible way to kick off this DC Extended Cinematic Universe. And he really, I think many of us can agree on this, even those I know who really enjoyed Man of Steel, among them, many are very willing to admit that Batman vs. Superman, Snyder's follow-up DC movie, was terrible. Batman now being a radical objectivist, taking up the really crazy idea that Superman is powerful, more powerful than any of us. And I believe the direct quote was, if there's a 1% chance that he might one day turn against us, we must accept that as a 100% certainty. That is absolutely crazy pants bananas. Totally out of character of Batman, who was out of character already, racking up a body count of his own. And these two heroes, who have nothing but reasons to be friends, are set up by a goofy, silly version of Lex Luthor and set against each other, both behaving much more stupidly, more hostile, more xenophobic than any version of these characters ought to be portrayed. It was this dark vision of Zack Snyder's and this creeping objectivism. So frankly, you know, as the shepherd of the DC Extended Universe, I think Snyder was a bad choice. Not saying he's a bad filmmaker, although I don't generally enjoy his films, I think he's a bad fit for DC Comics heroes. It was his vision of the DC Universe that guided the people who made Suicide Squad. He's not directly responsible for that being a bad film, but it was made in the image of the DC Universe he had created, and he was slated to continue shepherding. Then Justice League happened, his awful family tragedy occurred, and he was sidelined. They had to get the movie out on schedule, and perhaps there were creative differences, perhaps not. There's lots of rumors, but nothing confirmed. In any case, those differences have clearly been smoothed over because DC is very excited about this. HBO Max is thrilled about the 2021 release of the Snyder Cut of Justice League. So we'll watch for that when HBO Max launches, and who knows? It's certainly going to be different. It may be a two-part movie, as it was originally slated to be. I believe it's going to tell a slightly different story, perhaps expanded. Perhaps some plots from the version we saw in theaters will be dropped and replaced with other plots. Some characters will appear that were originally slated to appear who did not. Characters from Apocalypse and New Genesis, according to rumor. Can't confirm any of this. All I can tell you with certainty is the Snyder Cut will be released on HBO Max in 2021. And I look forward to it. Don't know that I'll like it. Obviously, I've just given my thesis on how I feel about Snyder. It's not great, particularly his DC Comics movies, but there's been several years. The Snyder Cut may very well not be what he had in the can in 2016. It may very well be a movie that he's been working on ever since. It could be that he's seen the sort of lighter direction DC's gone since he parted ways with them in films like Aquaman and Shazam, and that there'll be a little lightheartedness and fun in this version of Justice League. I really can't say, but I think we're all going to watch it. So until then, I'm reserving judgment, but I look forward to it. Then massive news from Batwoman, the most recent Arrowverse show on the CW that just wrapped its first season, which had a whopping 20 episodes, which is arduous for cast, crew, and honestly, even viewers. I'll give my honest opinion on it. I thought it was poorly written, poorly conceived, a little bit slapshod. It looked beautiful. The actors did a great job. I didn't think it was a well-structured world. Didn't think the writing was that great. Thought the villains were very lackluster. The stakes kind of, meh, I guess. I'm tense. There's some suspense there, but not a great first season. I continued to look forward to season two, but here's the big news. Batwoman herself, Ruby Rose, is out of the show. So they're going to have to replace the title character for season two. Not unprecedented and not impossible, but a challenge to be sure. It was Ruby Rose's decision. That's been made clear. However, it's not entirely certain as of today that that decision was hers alone. It's not even really sure that she had a choice. This according to an unnamed source on TV Line. So take it for what it's worth. The source told TV Line that, quote, "It wasn't 100% her decision. It was a breakup. She wasn't happy working on the show, and did that make her fun to work with? No. So everyone decided it would be in the best interests of the show, and for all concerned, if they parted ways. It just wasn't a good fit." The source said that Ruby Rose was not happy living in Vancouver, where the show was shot, that she wasn't accustomed to being the lead in a TV series, it was her first time, and the long hours were, and listen, those are long, arduous hours, but they grated on her. The source doesn't comment on this, but I'm just going to interject here that Ruby Rose's life was endangered. She was nearly paralyzed. There were injuries on the set. It was a difficult, difficult position for anybody. And I wouldn't blame her for walking away. I certainly wouldn't blame her for developing a little bit of a chip on her shoulder. She put her body on the line for that show. She moved to Canada. She worked around the clock. Like I said, 20 episodes is crazy for a first season of a show. It's crazy for any season of a show. That's, for an hour-long drama, that is intense. So whoever's decision it ultimately was, I wish Ruby Rose the best. She was the best part of that show. Replacing her is not going to be an easy feat. That said, I think everyone involved is a little bit lucky. Always difficult and awkward to say this about a pandemic. But I think the pandemic is going to be fortunate for them. Because right now, Batwoman Season 2 is set to premiere January 2021. But given the current climate, whether or not it's safe to return to work, as a SAG member myself, I'm getting emails all the time about don't return to work under these conditions, or these. Make sure the following safety checks are in place. It's going to be hard to do any sort of production. There are really strict rules in place, and for good reason. Not only that, the economy is in flux, to put it mildly. That's going to affect corporations, production companies, networks. Every facet of the TV and film production industry is dramatically impacted, just like the rest of the world is, by the global pandemic we're all living through right now. So many TV series with launch dates coming up in late 2020 and 2021, you're going to be hearing announcements all over the place of postponements. So if it turned out that rather than January 2021, Batwoman premiered its second season in February, March, or even the fall, that would not be at all unusual or set it apart in any negative way from many TV series or films for that matter. There are a lot of postponements in our future. And that sense that it is not uncommon to delay productions, season premieres, and things like that, if that can give everyone involved a little bit of extra time to find the perfect new Batwoman, and that's good for everybody. I honestly have no, you know, I like to do my dream castings. Like, ooh, if they made a new X-Men movie from scratch, who would I cast as Professor X, Wolverine, Cyclops? If they redid Justice League, who would I have cast as Batman, Aquaman, etc.? I have no clue in a situation like this where there's been a whole 20-episode first season. Who could be cast as Batwoman in a way to, as seamlessly as possible, keep the show going, maybe even hopefully improve on the first season, without putting off a lot of viewers who are going to be a little bit surprised and have a little bit of difficulty adjusting to it? I mean, imagine if Adam West on Batman had been recast for the second season. It takes a lot to suspend disbelief when there's a whole new person behind that costume. But if this led to an overhaul of the show entirely, better writing, more thorough world building, higher stakes, better villains, then this could really lead to a rehabilitation of a show that was not that great, even though it's losing what has been its best part, its lead, Ruby Rose. Each of these stories has the potential to be negative or very positive, and I'm leaning toward cautious optimism in both cases. I'm certainly curious, definitely very interested. and kind of hopeful to see what Zack Snyder's vision of the Justice League turns out to be when it comes to HBO Max in 2021. And as for Batwoman, losing Ruby Rose is real bad. No sugarcoating that. But the show did need a shot in the arm. And if this major recasting leads to essentially rebooting the show, which may very well be required when you're recasting the lead, you gotta do a lot of other dramatic changes as well, then this could lead to a much better Batwoman show. And that would be great too. So in both cases, I'm hoping for the best. And in both cases, I'm gonna have to wait till 2021 to find out for sure. I'd be very interested in hearing your opinions on the matter. So by all means, leave comments. And if you'd like to follow me on social media, there are links in the description as to how you can do that, as well as to how you can support this podcast. If you're listening on YouTube, please like, subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, and share. If you're listening on a podcast app or network, please subscribe there. I'd love it if you left me reviews as well. Thanks a lot. I'll talk to you soon.